Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Few can doubt these days that health has become big business, and as a result, a great deal of disinformation is currently being peddled as healthcare. In her award-winning documentary, The Business of Disease, author and filmmaker Sonia Barrett brings together a number of highly respected experts, including theoretical physicist Amit Goswami, Dr. Jacob Lieberman, and award-winning composer and recording artist Stephen Halpern, who together shed light on the marketing of disease, as well as the genetic and social hypnosis of programs that shape our choices and experiences. And they offer a new perspective on what is real and what is unreal. Described as a true mystic by Amit Goswami, Sonia Barrett has lectured at the Alchemy Conference, Conscious Life Expo, the Essene Conference, and more, and has appeared on panels with such visionaries as Bruce Lipton, Jacob Lieberman, Amit Goswami, and Michael Beckwith. Sonia Barrett joins me tonight to discuss her views on the science of consciousness and how our reality is created, how conventional wisdom is implanted into public consciousness by the media, the hypnosis of marketing, belief systems, and the body's ability to heal, and whether frequency is a new medicine or an ancient mystery revealed, and much more. Sonia Barrett, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Sonia, you're the author of three books, The Holographic Canvas, A Journey of Possibilities, and your latest book, 7-Day Program, Simple Ways to Step Outside of Your Comfort Zone, Letting Go of an Outdated Life. You've also appeared in a number of documentaries and written many articles on exploring time travel, immortality, ascension, and the science of past lives. So I have to ask you, what inspired you to make a documentary about the business of disease?
Well, it all started with, I think it was the month of October, actually it was back in 2010, and I wasn't really aware of the fact that it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but I do remember going in the store and repeatedly being asked if I wanted to donate. And that really sort of sparked it for me. I think the idea of the pink ribbon and my curiosity, I think, was how was the human mind? How were we interpreting this? How were we all taking this in? Because it's, you know, it's a symbol. And our, you know, first language as humans is really symbols. There's more that is said in a symbol than in actual words. So I just wondered what our interpretation was and how is society being shaped in terms of our views on cancer. Were we being sold more the idea as opposed to actually creating some sort of cure for it? And that's sort of where it started. I was going to do a small YouTube video, basically, is what happened, with a few well-respected people. And it evolved into something much bigger. Everybody was excited and on board to do it. And there was so much incredibly rich content that became a much longer film. And there's still so much rich content that has not been released as yet either.
So the movie, The Business of Disease, claims that illness, whether physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, is a multi-billion dollar industry whose various bigwigs, ranging from Big Pharma to the medical establishment, keep us all in a state of fear stoked by marketing. So what did some of your contributors have to say about that?
Well, you know, here's the thing. In one way, I think the title of the film, in one way, can be deceptive. Sure, we were talking about the business of disease, but I think the business of disease, the film, or the idea of the film was to really show a much wider perspective of what it involved, the business of the disease. It wasn't just about what the pharmaceutical companies were doing. Sure, we talked about that a little bit, you know, how human beings were being marketed illness and how people sort of give their lives over to these industries. And yes, those things were talked about, but everybody ultimately in the end, the focus was in getting people to awaken to taking responsibility for themselves. So it wasn't just spending a lot of time just breaking down numbers as to, you know, what was going on, how many people were dying of cancer and so on, but it was more looking at the whole being. Everybody, we had a few neuroscientists like Dr. Ernest Rossi, who talked a little bit about the Euclidean rhythm, you know, the circadian rhythm, which everybody's familiar with, but the necessity of taking a break and the fact that the body does reboot like a computer every 120 minutes or so, why it's necessary to take a break instead of overriding that natural breaking process with caffeine or cigarettes or whatever people use to override those things and, you know, the necessity of that. And so you had these various kinds of information being shared that may seem a bit more cutting edge to some people. Dr. Lieberman spoke, one of the things he spoke about, which I thought was really great, it seemed so simple, but a lot of people weren't aware of that. He talked about the fact that most people are trapped in offices with artificial lighting and the impact of that artificial lighting on the human body with smells that never change and so on in the environment. And the only thing that is constant is change, the necessity of change. And after a while, we actually begin to become afraid of change, people not wanting to go outside without their sunshades because it's too bright. That, you know, so there were all these things, children, you know, wearing shades. How does that affect us when we wear shades? How does it impact our health? Of course, people don't think about that maybe wearing your shades does impact your health because digestion and of the whole digestive process and so much with the body has a lot to do also with the eyes and the light that's coming through the eyes as well.
I want to cover some of the actual contributions of the movie and in the accompanying book, Health and Inside Job and Outside Business, a little later in the show. First, I want to talk about the hypnosis of marketing, the belief systems and the body's ability to heal, because, you know, I've done quite a bit of research on your movie and I've looked at some of the reviews and there are some really nasty reviews out there. And what I found mm-hmm. really interesting about those reviews is that they actually all, I mean, you talk about the media and the media's ability to, you know, skew our thinking to really, you know, change the way that we think about things. And what those reviewers were doing, one could argue that some of the words that they used, some of the criticisms that they leveled at you, are themselves a perfect example of how the media plants suggestions in the minds of the public.
Right, absolutely. And if you read some of those reviews, it's as if they sort of copied from the other. I don't necessarily think that some of those people actually do look at the movie, and they sort of pick from this one and that one. And I think that anything that seems to go outside of what is considered the norm, people can tend to pull back from it. That's kind of basically what I have to say, because many of those people are probably people who are sitting doing the very thing that we're talking about, that's creating problems. I don't know how many medications they may be on or you know, how reliant they are on the you know, Western medicine establishment, all of those factors. So, you know, it's like that just didn't even faze me because I already understood the media and their job to shape people's minds and sell you reality, which is what I'm always telling people when I do lectures and workshops, is that reality is sold to you on a moment-to-moment basis. How we should perceive reality is presented to us. And one of the things that I think is nobody really thinks about is nobody really knows what the whole world looks like. And to me, I thought it was really fascinating. Nobody really knows what it all looks like because you're only where you are when you're there. However, the world idea and concepts about what the world is brought to us through videos and pictures and images. And that should really sink in because you have to take somebody's word for what they're telling you is through videos and pictures and images, and that's what the news does. I mean, that's what happens. The billboards, everything around you gets your brain to sort of create this blueprint of what reality should look like paste it there. It's like cut and paste. Paste it there, and depending on your environment, the environment you grew up in, depending on your own belief system, how deep it is, how shallow it is, people get hooked into, they're pulled in easily. So there's a lot of factors involved, but everybody's a little bit infected by the trends sold to us, whether it be disease trends. And people don't realize that disease can be a trend as well. Live in a trendy society. It's sort of a Borg type of behavior.
We'll come back to this in a minute. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author and filmmaker Sonia Barrett about her documentary, The Business of Disease, which seeks to untangle the web of government collusion, corporate malfeasance, and medical stroke drug industry fear-based marketing that have made illness a multi-billion-dollar industry. We'll be back after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Radio's What Is Going On show. If you've been on a spiritual journey and know yourself to be more than just your body, mind and emotions, yet still struggle to fully love yourself and the life you're living. If you experience childhood challenges that continue to play out as limiting patterns in your daily life. If you long for success in your relationships and career, but keep finding it eludes you. The Journey Back to Love Symposium will not only dramatically shift your perceptions about love, but also help you understand and integrate all the places where you may have secretly believed you were broken. Filmed over 7 days with 8 internationally renowned teachers and speakers, the Journey Back to Love Symposium series is packed with life-transforming insights, tools, practical processes, gifts, and wisdom. So, if you're ready to transform your beliefs about love, success, and freedom, and to finally put all your perceived limitations, fears, and failures in your relationships and life behind you, I invite you to visit the JourneyBackToLoveSymposium.com and start your journey back to love at a huge discount with the coupon code JBL3.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Sonia Barrett, as we were discussing before the break, I think we've all seen, especially of late, how much influence the media has on what we feel, believe and do. So I'd like to move on now to discuss more of the information that your movie and its accompanying book offer. You've said that the pharmaceutical and food industry has played a major role in providing suppressive inducements to the human brain. We've become a society obsessed with food, mainly cooked food, fast food and junk food, all of which alter the harmonic function of the brain and the nervous system, both of which are essential in the awakening process. Now, the awakening process, consciousness, this is much more of what your daily work is about, as I understand it. So can you expand on that for us?
Well, let's see. That aspect of our bodies, then, of who we are, we already know that when our brains are foggy, just operating in general, we're not even speaking about aiming to, you know, aspire to higher levels of consciousness, but just in general, people's brains are foggy. It's very hard to think, very hard to do anything. Your memory is affected and so on. So basically, what we're looking at is, a body that's become very acid. And that acidity in the body is affecting the brain as well. So the brain has also everything to do with when one decides to connect deeper, connect beyond what we call this realm or this time and space, this theater, this character we play. So when we meditate, when we aim to do anything of that level, that kind of focus, it does make a big difference. The clearer we are, the less encumbered we are in our bodies to be able to more easily shift into these, I guess we'd call altered spaces, be able to do more of that. So, and we remember that the body is a chemical factory, and what we're dealing with is, all these various chemical compounds that the body makes. So when we're adding compounds like medication, that these pharmaceuticals, the body recognizes this as a foreign chemical, something that doesn't blend with the body. So that's going to throw everything off, all the way up from the body, just the body itself, to one attempting to be clear. And so just on that basic level, I think people can relate to the fact that there is something that happens when I am not clear. I think most people, however, unless they're very conscious about food and the body, again, as a chemical factory, they will run off to the doctor as opposed to really examining what is it that I just put in my body, why I seem to get this headache when I eat this, or my stomach feels like this, or I have digestive issues. And that alone, Sandy, can keep an individual so distracted that you're completely caught up in these feelings all the time. So what happens is you're totally external all the time. Your focus is not about being able to meditate or being able to lift yourself out of this space for a little while. You're caught up in the drama and the relationship of this chemical, imbalance that's going on in our bodies. When you feel good, when you don't feel well, that's just normal. When you don't feel well, you don't function properly. And when you don't feel well, and not feeling well has become your norm, where you don't even realize you're thrown off, well, yeah, then that is definitely going to make it even more challenging to see anything beyond all of the external experiences that we're having.
I think any thinking person is becoming very well aware now that we have been sold a bill of goods around certain fast foods, around sugar, around all kinds of chemicals that are being touted as being good for us or good for the environment or good for our gardens, etc. I was surprised to read that when heat is applied to food through the process of cooking above certain temperatures, chemical
118 degrees.
Yeah, mm-hmm. take place mm-hmm. that destroy essential enzymes and amino acids that are precursors for the neurotransmitters that we need to experience higher states. One has to question, why is this happening? How did we get to this point? I mean, is this just something that accidentally, evolved over time, or is there a dastardly plot afoot to keep people dumb?
Well, I think it's a combination. This is not something that's happened overnight. I think human beings, it seems like in general, in many places that you go, not just here in the Western world, but I think across the board, I think that people have been sort of going through a dumbing down, process. And I think that it does lead back to who's in control, who wants to be in charge, because that seems to be the thing. It's power. It's always been this major thing with power. And you can't have power, and you can't be in control if people are aware, if people are awake, if people are aware of all of who they are or what the possibilities are for who they can be, excuse me, or what they are, what's their birthright. I think that it would destroy what someone else wants to experience. It's like you can't have all people rich people, because then you have to have poor people in order for being rich, as defined, to be experienced in that way. And so you find a small portion of people that are experiencing a certain level of wealth, because that really, really gives that experience of wealth. So I think it's sort of the same across the board. And if you have 10 people regulating or controlling a planet of people, because that's what it is. The ratio is probably would be compared a handful of people that are doing the controlling to the majority. Then you have to find ways to keep people from discovering who they are. You have to keep them distracted, keep them looking outside of themselves, and keep them in survival mode, and help to create conditions that just keep them from wanting to even discover more deeply who they are. And that's done with religion as well. So there's layers and layers of this experience, this thing going on. And I do call it a game. I'm sure you've looked at my work. I call this life, a game experience, and a virtual game. And it's, who awakens to realize that they're in a game and go, whoa, okay, let me activate myself. So I think that there's many levels to this. We certainly can activate ourselves on many levels. And again, here comes the brain again, because the brain has access to a 360 degree view of everything beyond this time and space. It's in touch, but it filters reality for us according to the perception that we hold, according to the belief system that supports that perception. And so reality is filtered for us. And that's why some people experience more, see more, because their belief system might be a little bit, different, maybe a little bit more open. So perception is very major. We have to bring latitude to our perception, widen that belief system, widen our knowing, in order to give the brain and the rest of all of who we are permission to allow us to engage in more, to see more beyond these external protocols and rules that we seem to be fenced in by those who have appointed themselves rulers of humanity, whether on this planet or outside of this planet.
Yeah. As I said earlier, you've written articles on exploring time travel, immortality, ascension, the science of past lives. Did the making of this movie add to your knowledge or just confirm your knowledge?
I think it was more confirming. I think a lot of what I probably connected with was definitely additional information were some of the health information that I discovered from all these wonderful people. So those components, but it certainly was supporting, yes, the things that I knew and things that I'd been speaking about, but here were experts that were giving much, deeper, richer information to add to, what my understanding was. And so that's what I saw. So it wasn't really about me getting there, getting in the film and telling people what I thought, but to have other people say, look, here's this piece and that piece and so on.
Do you think, there's so much information shared in the movie and its accompanying book, Health and Inside Job and Outside Business, that, it's very eye-opening. Do you think that there is a move afoot? And some of this information is quite old as well, to keep this information from people.
Again, it's the same thing with, those who seem to run things. And I think that people, we have to at some point come to that realization. We have to own that we have to take responsibility. There's the music. We have to take responsibility for ourselves.
I'm going to hold you there, Sonia. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author and filmmaker Sonia Barrett about her documentary film, The Business of Disease. We'll be back after the break, and we'll be talking about some of the eye-opening things that have been discovered, the research that's going on, that can actually change the way we think.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything. I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Sonia Barrett, there are many theories that associate our state of health and well-being with frequencies. And in your documentary, several of the contributors share their own unique approach to analysing these frequencies with a view to diagnosing and curing illness. You've got some really interesting information in there. For example, Shari Edwards, who claims to have identified a basic set of sounds, frequencies that can monitor, predict and manage biological function. Jacob Lieberman, who you mentioned earlier, who's an authority in the field of light and colour therapy. Stephen Halpern with his healing music. One segment that really intrigued me was Bradley York Bartholomew's. He's the author of the book The Spiritual Genome, How DNA Can Act as a Universal Quantum Computer. And he spoke in your documentary and wrote in its accompanying book about biophotons. What can you tell us about these?
About what part of it?
Biophotons. And Fritz Albert Pott's work with UV light.
Oh, my gosh. Right off the bat, I can't tell you anything specific about what he was talking about that work that he was speaking about. I think that's what you're trying to find out, if I
yes.
can tell you anything about that.
Yeah, if you can expand
right?
on that.
Biophoton.
Because I think, you know, Pop's work, it was all on the phenomenon of photo repair and UV light and the ability of UV light to actually heal the body.
Right.
Have you experienced any of the things that, the people that in your movie spoke about, their expertise, have you experienced it?
I haven't had anything that caused me to have to do any of those therapies per se. Other people, as far as vocal profiling with Sherry Edwards, there are other people that I know that have dealt with her system and have had great results from that perspective. Stephen Halperin, of course, his music, I was listening to his music back in the early 90s is when I discovered his music. I'm a friend of Stephen as well. And so from that perspective, yes, I do. I have experienced the power of the music and the frequencies of music from that perspective. But as far as anything else that's therapeutic beyond that, no, I have not had to do.
What about in your own experience, your own explorations in consciousness? I mean, what do you know? What have you discovered for yourself about frequency?
That's kind of a tough question. What have I discovered about frequency? Well, I think from the perspective of realizing, which I think everybody knows, that everything is a frequency pattern. That's all we're dealing with is frequency patterns, vibrational patterns. Now, in one sense, what does that mean? Well, everyone knows that everything vibrates at a specific rate of speed. And when we're talking about frequencies, we're talking about cycles per second, the measurement of something like strumming the string on a guitar. You hear the sound, but it's moving so fast you can't really notice that. So it's the cycles of how it's vibrating that we're counting, and that's what we're referring to as when we're talking about measuring frequencies. Of course, then I do a lot of talking about the electromagnetic spectrum. We're talking about frequencies and vibration of the entire idea of reality, including us, a human body, which is also color, light, and sound. So everything is really a measurement of color, light, and sound, which are all basically, they're all offshoots. They're all the same. They're different aspects of each other, but they all carry a particular frequency. A color carries a particular frequency. It has a tone, which is also, measured the same way. So, it's just a matter of how we are understanding the use of the word frequency. And I think sometimes people sort of throw it around because they don't really understand that sometimes we use the word vibrations, and sometimes these words become sort of airy-fairy or sort of just, new age concepts for some people. But I like to look at the science of everything, and that doesn't mean that I'm referring simply to the science as we understand science here, but an understanding of that which is on a much bigger scale, and sort of tapping into that understanding. When I say that, let me also quickly explain that everything, when I say that, I look at the fact that everything is made up of data, bits of information, and those bits of information or that data is the frequency is carrying these bits of information. So everybody is made up of bits of information. The chair is made up of bits of information, even though we look at it and we say it's just a frequency pattern, but it requires a message or a coding of some sort to allow it to be what it is, this body to take the shape that it has, the arms, legs, so on, the chair, the everything. So I think it's just looking at it in a much bigger sense. We're a melody. I love that part. We are a melody. We are a tune. And if we are measured, we see that there's all kinds of sounds coming from us, all kinds of sounds that are the result of what the frequencies, the vibration. So many levels to this. It's simple, but at the same time may seem a little bit complex, but it's all frequency patterns.
Well, just going back to Fritz Popp's work with UV light, I think after many experiments and testing of his hypotheses, he apparently exclaimed in a documentary, which was taken in the laboratory at the International Institute of Biophysics, "We know today that man is essentially a being of light."
What? Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us more about that and your experience
with
that.
Here it is. It's the same thing. It's no different. We are a being of light, but then that light is still color light. It's color, light, and sound. They're all. It's still all the same things. And when we're being a being of light, we are lowered frequency then to be able to take this form. It's the slowing of this frequency. Or this light, then again, we look at it on the electromagnetic spectrum, then, right? Because it is measured. It's all light, but it's measured. You can measure on the electromagnetic spectrum. You'll see that, yeah, we are as human beings. This reality, this idea of reality, is at the bottom of that frequency of the. It's radio waves. It's the Hertz field, which is a slower frequency. So yes, we are light, everything is, but this is the body that we see of anything is what is allowing that light to sort of make an appearance then, is in this form. So if we are in pure light form, then we obviously, we're not in this lower sort of frequency form. Everything slowed down, molecules slow down enough to take this form. But it's all light frequencies.
But clearly many of the things that we're doing to our bodies, the foods that we're eating, you know, the drugs that we are taking are damaging those frequencies.
Well, yeah, it is damaging to the body. And I also like to add that it is food, yes. The food does affect the body. But one reason why the food affects the body even more severely is because the awareness, most people are in such a dense state, in such a disconnected state to begin with, that that natural source, you know, that would keep the body more alive or more aligned is sort of out of the picture in a way because we are totally distracted. And so that's the reason why it affects us more. It's like somebody that's depressed would more easily end up with more issues from eating junk food than somebody that is in a happier state of being, because your body has to compensate. It has to try to keep itself going, dealing with the acidity of the body, and it has to keep itself, you, going emotionally. There's somebody that, that's really in an emotionally distraught state, has to keep that part of the person going. And an emotional state can also give you an acid body. So you've got this double, you know, whammy that's going on, and there's no live connection. It's like not being, you know, aware of your connection to the, you know, the internet and the bigger internet, like beyond the internet. And so people end up having these more severe issues. I hope that makes sense.
So since you have gained all of this awareness, what difference has it made to the way you live your life, the things that you do, what you read, you know, the information you take in, the foods that you eat?
Oh, I've been living like this for whatever like this means, a very long time, for quite a while. So I have to think when it says what difference has it made in my my life. I'm just more aware and more alert. I understand that for me, my understanding is life is this incredible game. Just the awareness of all of that. It's just my choices, maybe different. How I eat, I provide my food, my body with the highest frequency foods. I don't even really think of it as good or bad or junk food or not junk food. I am looking at live food, things that are have a higher frequency to it, and that would be, of course, you know, organic fruits and vegetables, because they don't have pesticide, you know, on them, and how they're grown. And if you eat animal meat, you want to get animals that are cared for, and on all of that. So it's this awareness that one sort of jumps into, and not say, you've got to die sometime. It's a different kind of thinking.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with author and executive producer of the movie The Business of Disease. We'll be back after the break.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatesPR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Sonia Barrett, your documentary, The Business of Disease, opens with a quote from Thomas Edison, who said that the doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human body, in diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease. How far away do you think we are from creating a society that embraces Edison's predictions?
I'm sorry, that embraces what?
Edison's prediction?
Boy, you know, with this whole idea of healthcare, I don't know. There are people that are moving towards that kind of medicine, and then there are people that are completely oblivious, and which is why there is such a struggle and a fight to have healthcare, which, you know, because people see it as, you know, a preventive, as their crutch, and yet, on the flip side of that, this can is also an opportunity for people to say, you know what, I'm going to really start to investigate more. I'm going to take back ownership of myself, responsibility for my health. So it's really kind of hard to say. It's, you've got two groups of people. Now, personally, I have not done Western medicine. I have not gone to a traditional, what we call medical doctor, since 1984. I went for a 6 weeks checkup with my younger son, who was born in December in 1983, and then I never went back. But I have spent many years, all these years, learning my, understanding my body, listening to my body, knowing the language and all of that of my body, and just knowing, researching and knowing what works for me, what should I eat. So I am comfortable with doing that. And if there's something that I can't fix, then maybe I will find a natural, a more naturopathic doctor, or excuse me, or somebody of that nature, of that kind of practice. But that's kind of how, you know, I have seen it. Sorry, when you asked me that question, I've been living like this such a long time. I think since actually the age of 18. Because I even made my own formula for my children, excuse me, for my two sons. So I've been living like this for a very, very long time. And that's the responsibility. So I don't tell anybody to go jumping off and not going to the doctor, not getting their checkups. You have to do what makes you comfortable. All I'm saying is to be more responsible for you. You cannot rely completely on the doctor to, excuse me, to know your body and to know what's best for you, and you have to learn to listen to your body.
Now, you have said, and I'm not sure in which book, it may have been the Holographic Canvas, that just like a video game, we can create any world we want by just thinking differently and using our will to go forward into something different. Why do you think that embracing that concept and making the necessary changes is so hard for so many?
I'm sorry, I have to cough, and I pulled my phone away from my ears. So you're saying about this virtual reality?
You have
reality?
Said that just like a video mm-hmm. game, we can create the world game. We want. Yes, by thinking differently and using our will to go forward. So my question is, why do you think that embracing this concept and making the necessary changes is so hard for so many?
Because we're dealing with programs. Everybody's coming up against a programmed concepts about what reality is, and it's very hard to get past that because it's like it's hardwired in. Again, it's this sort of this blueprint that your brain has for what reality is supposed to look like, and unless you shake that up and really start to push the envelope on it, that's the one that we get stuck on, and everything around the individual's environment is supporting the old concepts and old models of what this virtual life, this video game life is supposed to be. So it's very challenging. You're coming up against programs. We can be programmed no differently than you program a computer. We're habitual creatures, and habits, they're like programs. So we're talking, generations or eons, however long we've been doing this. Those are old programs that are actually literally, in a way, passed through the genes, data, information that's passed along. Now, are you stuck with it? No.
How would you recommend? I mean, what would you suggest to help people break free of thought programming?
I think more than anything else, just have this conversation again today. It sounds simple, Sandy, but more than anything else, desire is key. Desire, desire, desire. The desire has to be so strong that it is going to allow the individual to commit to making these changes. It's going to allow the individual to commit to knowing thyself, to take in an honest look at who they have been, who they think they are, the character that they have been identifying with, what they believe, the belief system that they have. So it is about coming to a truthful observation of your whole structure of reality that you've been living by. I think it has to begin there, because I could say anything and tell you to, stand on your head at 2 o'clock every afternoon. It wouldn't matter. You have to come to grips with the truth of, and this is not a good or bad thing, so people need to understand this. This is not about chastising yourself or punishing yourself. This is just going, okay, so this is what I've thought for all this time. Is there more? Am I willing to push the envelope? Do I want to see more? Am I too comfortable with who I think I am? It's all of those questions that begin to, the brain starts to get the fact that, wow, okay, we're stretching the envelope. We're wanting to see more. This is the permission that I'm being given. And this is why it's necessary that we do that, because you have to give yourself permission, and your cells and everything begins to respond to that permission that is being given. And it's, like everything else, it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. I always say, if you used to go left, you got to go right. You have to create new neural pathways, and that means you have to stir things up and begin to do things, step outside your comfort zone and start doing things differently, start thinking more deeply, and just entertaining just wider perceptions.
Now, you wrote a book called The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter, and I read this online. The holographic canvas explores many possibilities, one of which raises the question, is Earth as we know it but a matrix or system of programs? Is death then a necessary process, or is it simply part of the matrix program? Is it then possible that concept of dying will cease to exist once humanity uncovers the deception? And I don't know who wrote that, but it then says Sonia Barrett proposes in The Holographic Canvas that human bodies are vehicles not yet turned on, but designed to make molecular modifications according to the vibration of our consciousness. So answer this if you can for me, Sonia. If we eat the right foods, if we do the right things for our body, if we feed our consciousness, raise our awareness and our frequency, and those vehicles do turn on, what then?
These are questions that require a workshop. What then? Because there's more, it's more than that. The whole process of doing any of that, where you are raising awareness, and I don't look at this from, we're just raising our consciousness. It's like, what does that really mean for you? What does that mean? It's all of those components that come together. And in the process of doing that, you are shifting realities. It's not necessarily the sudden, I'm over here in this reality. We are shifting realities in every single moment. So we are allowing ourselves to be in this aware state of evolution, you know, all the time. You're just more aware of it, and you're expanding and expanding. Now, there's so much that can happen when we go into that state of awareness, and it is. You're, you know, consciously jumping realities. I think it's all of that that becomes a possibility. The idea of being, you know, superhuman, which is why we see so much of that now. You know, coming out, there were comic books before, but now here it is. I mean, Superman is sort of, yeah, based on, that's a whole other story, but based on this search for this superhuman race. But these are things that are wired, that are available to us. And I do know that this body is so much more and can do so much more, but the pilot has to be really present, the pilot, which is supersedes this automated self that seems to run everything, and that's who we identify with, is this automated persona, this automated personality. But that part of us that is expansive, that's way beyond and cannot be trapped in this body, when that aspect of us is really more aligned again, yes, then there's lots that can happen with where we go, where we travel to, and we are not confined anymore to this idea that we're stuck with. When we speak of reality, the only thing that we can perceive of is this world. And this is why it's so confusing for people.
Sonia Bauer, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
You can find out more about Sonia Barrett, her movie, The Business of Disease, her books and work at www.therealsoniabarrett.com. And that is SoniaBarrett. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today, and I hope you'll be back with me again next week for another edition of What Is Going On. Till then, it's goodbye from me.